Turning again tonight to the 9th chapter of Mark's Gospel, reading beginning at verse 35. He sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And he took a little child, set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we saw last Sunday evening in verse 35, Jesus turned the usual means of measurement of greatness completely around. And now he emphasizes the importance of his words on the greatness of the one who serves with a vivid dramatization. He takes a child, and I like the picture, he takes a child and holds him in his lap. And in the midst of them, he talks about the child and our relationship to himself. Now basically, a child has very little or no influence on the matters of the world. A child doesn't usually advance a person's career nor enhance a person's prestige. A child is totally dependent upon others for food, for clothing, for shelter, for care, for attention. A few days without the care of an adult, a child would be in trouble, perhaps sick or even dead. A little child is totally dependent upon others. Now Jesus said, if you receive one such little child like this in my name, you receive me. In effect, he's saying, if you receive the weak, the poor, the people who cannot do anything for you, those without influence or wealth or power, people who need things done for them, if you receive them, you are in fact receiving me. Moreover, he goes on to say, you are in effect receiving God. There's a warning here. William Barclay says, it's easy to cultivate the friendship of the person who can do things for us. How many times have you heard it said, it's not how much you know, but it's who you know? We like to cultivate people who can be useful to us. He goes on to say, it's equally easy to avoid the society of a person who inconveniently needs our help. Just turn away. It's easy, he said, to curry favor with the influential and the great and to neglect the simple, the humble, the ordinary folk. It's easy at some function to seek the society and the notice of some distinguished person and to avoid the poor relation. In effect, Jesus here says that we ought to seek out not those who can do things for us. Do not seek out those who can do things for us, but those for whom we can do things. For by so doing, we are seeking the society of Jesus himself. This is another way of saying, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. So let's think a little bit tonight about how we receive children. Someone has well said, the final test of society. The final test of society is what it does to children. What does this say about our society as a whole? What does it say about our church? What does it say about us as individuals? Well, when I look at our society as a whole and think about how it receives children, sometimes I weep. We like to forget about it, but about a million children are killed every year in this country before they even have the chance of life. Most of those not given a chance at life simply because they are unwanted would interfere with the lifestyle that the person is used to. They're too much a bother, would take away my freedom, would cost too much. So just do away with them. Of those children born into our society, how many are literally thrown away? It's not uncommon at all to read of a child found in a garbage dump or clogging up a commode where a mother tried to flush it down the commode, or found beside the road. How many are abused and neglected and unloved? How often do we see on TV or hear of or read about some child who's been abused, neglected, or killed? I don't think hardly a day goes by there's not some article in the Huntsville Times about some child or several children that have been abused or neglected or killed by their own parents. Just this week, a story of a man who had put out the eyes of his son when he was on a high from dope. And what about the preventable diseases that children are not protected against, or those that receive an inadequate education, or those who are neglected in their spiritual development? What kind of a grade would you give our society for the way it receives children? And what about the church? Do we receive children into our fellowship with the love and in the spirit of Jesus? What kind of a grade would you give a church, this church, on the way we receive children? There's one family in this church who are here not because it was their first choice, they were going to another church, but because their children were not like all the other children. They were pretty well told they were not welcome there, and so they came here and sought out the minister and asked, would their children be welcomed here? You know, I'm rather pleased with how we receive and welcome children here. In Sunday school, in all the children's choirs, in the praising puppets, in upward basketball and soccer, and on, children of all races and classes, condition are welcomed here. And I'm thankful for that. As individuals, do we receive children with the love and care of Jesus? Do the little children know that we care for them? Do the children run to you, or do they run from you? Do we have time to listen to the little children, their cares and concerns? What accomplishment it is for an individual, a family, or a church, or a society to receive a child in the Spirit of Jesus. Forgetting self in service, conscious of the responsibility of bringing one for whom Christ died into His true heritage. Surely a church, any church, has no higher duty or privilege than to give itself to reaching out to children and to the weak and the sick and the poor and the lost, and let them know that they are loved in receiving them into the body of Christ. Look at a child. Look at one of the poorest and the weakest of society, and what do you see? Do you ever see Jesus in them? I fear that I come a whole lot nearer seeing Jesus in a child, a little child, than I do in a weak adult. I don't say this boasting. I've always had a special relationship in the churches that I serve to the little children. And they love me, and I love them. That's easy. But the weak, the begging, the poor dealt, I sometimes see as a bother, an irritation. Someone who's wasted their opportunities and their resources. And you cannot imagine some of the things that I've helped people with across the years. Not because I saw Jesus in them, sometimes just to get rid of them. God forgive me. Sometimes all it takes is a word of encouragement and a little help to transform some lives. Back from 1982 to 86, I was honored to pastor the First Methodist Church in Fort Payne. And one day I got a letter in the mail that was addressed simply to the pastor, P-A-S-T-E-U-R, of First United Methodist Church in Fort Payne. It was typed out. Not good typing, but it was typed. I opened the letter, had no idea what it was about. I opened the letter and the man said, as he wrote, "I hope I'm not waited too long. I should have written this letter at least 2 years ago." Said there was a woman that helped me there. All I know about her was that she said she's a member of the First Methodist Church. And if you can know who she is, I want you to tell her what's happened to me. Basically, his story was that he had run away from home. He had a wife and 5 children down in Florida. He got deeply in debt, could not face his creditors. He got in his car and went as far as the car would go. And he hitchhiked and he arrived in Fort Payne after 5 o'clock one afternoon. Tired and hungry, exhausted. And he said he had 28 cents to his name. He went to the Red Cross, which was supposed to have been closed, the office at that time. But the lady that he was talking about was there. She was an older lady, a volunteer with the Red Cross, crippled with arthritis. She could not get home by herself. She was waiting for somebody to come to take her home. And that was why she was there all alone. And he said she shouldn't have been there all alone. He said he was so desperate that he was ready to hurt somebody if he didn't get some help. But he said she listened to his story. And she went to the vending machine and got him something to drink and some snacks to eat. And she sat down and talked with him and listened to him. And she reached into her desk and pulled out her old, well-worn Bible. And she talked to him about his relationship to God. And she said to him, "What you need to do is to go down here to the truck stop and catch a ride to Chattanooga, and from there you can get a ride on back to Florida. You need to go home and be reconciled with your wife and children. You need to talk to your creditors and make arrangements to pay off your bills and become the man that God wants you to be." He said after that, she had prayer with him. And she took out an old billfold, well-worn, and took out all that she had in there and gave him $10. And he took the $10 and he took her advice. He went down to the truck stop. He caught a ride to Chattanooga and he got a job there working in the farmer's market, sleeping there in the farmer's market, until he got enough money to go home to Florida. He was reconciled with his wife and his children. He made arrangements with his creditors to pay the bills. And he wrote that he and his wife started a church and they had been saved. And 2 of their children had been saved. And the others were involved in Sunday school and were learning about Jesus. And he said, "I've got a job and I've got the promise of a better job if I get my GED diploma. And that's what I'm working on now." And if you know that woman, I want her to know what's happened. And then enclosed in the envelope, one of the biggest shocks I've ever had in my life, enclosed in the envelope was 2 $50 bills. Now, I don't know any of your financial condition tonight, but I think every one of us here could come out easier with 2 $50 bills than this man with a wife and 5 children trying to pay his way out of debt in Florida. He said, I want you to take this $100 and help somebody else like this woman helped me. Well, I knew the woman. I went to her. I didn't say a thing, just gave her the letter. She started reading it and tears began to flow. And we rejoiced in what God can do if we receive one of the weakest of His children. What did Jesus say? He said, when you receive a child in my name, you receive me. He said, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give water to the thirsty, visit the sick and those in prison, and do it to Jesus. Whoever receives Jesus in the person of a child or one of the poorest of the poor receives the Father who sent him. I want to close with this tonight. Most of you here know John Fitzer. John and Deb adopted 3 Down syndrome children. Week before last, they went with those children and about 20 others, I think, from Madison County to a state meet down in Troy State University. In the Sunday school class this morning, John shared a little bit of what took place and how great an experience it was. Those children, he said, most of them suffered from mental retardation. Others had some other problems, but most of them mental retardation. He said they were from age of about 12 to 60-something, but they're all still children. And the one thing they were all sure of was that Jesus loved them. And they would sign, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I had never known the significance of the sign before. So they point to the nail prints in his hand. Jesus loves me. So it was quite an experience, a closing event. About 2,000 special children, 12 to 60-something years of age, joining in worship, those that could sing in Amazing Grace, others that couldn't sing, signing Jesus loves me. And then he told of an incident in his own life. A number of years ago, he and his wife were on the way somewhere, and the little daughter was about 6 years of age. They went in a restaurant, and he said there was a woman in there that was sort of showing out. She was upset at the waitress or something, not acting as she should have been acting. And this little 6-year-old Down syndrome child walked over to her. Didn't say a thing, just and said the woman understood. And it was over with, her acting up. Look into the face of a child. Look into the eyes of the poor. Look and see one there for whom Christ died. Look deeper and even get a glimpse of Jesus Himself. Almighty God, give us eyes to see, compassion to care, and the will to do all that we can to receive such persons in Your name. Amen.